I had an excellent day of writing yesterday. It was really, like, legendarily good. And we were talking before the episode about how last week we did the whole you need to take a break episode, and we were both looking at Strava, and no one did. But I kind of get it.
No, I know.
Snow's going to fly.
Breaks are easier to take when the weather's bad, and it was just like the perfect temperatures, and it was gorgeous.
I was kind of expecting the weather to be worse.
Yeah.
So, I'm sort of surprised by how good it's... And it's like looking like this week's actually going to be pretty decent too.
To those who ignored our advice to take a break, we still love you.
You have to do it at some point.
Yeah.
You have to do it at some point. But here's the thing. I don't know. And that's fine. If you're going and riding, like...
Well, you know, we are teaching a principle too.
Yeah. You have to take a break at some point, but yeah, maybe wait till the weather's super crappy.
But I do think that you shouldn't, like, if anyone did intervals, shame on you.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, or if anyone, yeah. I mean, you should just, if you were out riding for pure joy, that's totally fine. If you were riding for training,
that's probably a weird, bad choice.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
So, you know, you mentioned you had an amazing ride.
Yes.
Yesterday. I hurt my back for like...
Are you explaining to the fans of your Strava why you didn't ride yesterday?
Well, I Zwifted for 3 hours.
Ugh.
And it was the weirdest thing. I've always had such a good back. I've never had back trouble. I was bending over the other day, and when I go to stand up, I couldn't. It was the weirdest thing. And
it's getting old.
I know. I feel so...
No one has back trouble till they do. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah, it was... And... So yeah, I actually Zwifted for 3 hours on Saturday while it was beautiful outside, and that's
mentally...
It was hard.
Devastating.
And it wasn't too bad. I actually kind of figured out a way to prop myself up, and I was watching Wednesday, and it wasn't too awful, but...
Can I say to the Zwift haters, Zwift has its place. I said this so many times last year. For me, it would have been dumb for me to Zwift yesterday because I'm not a million years old and my back still works. But like Zwift has its place.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was so glad I was able to do it. We'll be talking a little bit about Zwift today, but yeah. So I am feeling better.
Good.
For those that care, but
Everyone's been on, you know, like bated breath, the batedest breath ever. I do want to say on the Zwift thing, weather's still good. I will start getting those Zwift rides rolling when the weather sucks. I'm for me personally, my goal is not to have to Zwift this week. It usually happens because life gets crazy. And
yeah, once daylight savings hits.
This is the last week before daylight savings, right?
Yeah.
After daylight savings, after daylight savings, I probably will, because even if the weather's good, it's really hard to get that ride in. So, yeah, that will come. But I'm thinking at least this week, go ride outside if you're going to ride.
So I had right after we did our last episode, had a few people reach out to me, and
which is good.
That's what we wanted. Which is what we wanted.
Thank you.
Pointed out some people that we should have shouted out that we didn't. And thanks for doing that, because some of them were pretty blaringly obvious.
Again, there are so many kids who did so many cool things. I will say it's not as many as last week.
I've just got a couple, but, so Alexa Anderson, she raced JVA and was well in the top 10. I can't remember exactly how she did. I forgot. In fact, she was actually on my notes, and I just didn't.
Just missed it.
I'm not very good at reading, I guess, or something.
That's okay.
But yeah, like the Anderson family, they are just awesome. Cause you know, Ben, you've met Ben.
Oh yeah.
He's been riding with the Post Nike group, and, just everyone in that family is so good at riding bikes. Yeah. And Alex is just awesome.
There's some natural talent.
Yeah.
Anyone can be good, but we talk a lot that there is talent's a thing.
Cause I actually rode with Alex's group, and our group, we'd always have a group that wanted to go, like they'd go ride with like Gabe or Bo or,
yeah,
you know, that wanted to ride faster. And then I'd ride with the group that kind of wanted to keep it more chill. Well, basically Alexa never really rode with me much.
She
always chose the other group, but she, yeah. So way to go. She had an awesome season, just killed JVA. Someone reached out and wanted me to shout out Braden McNichols.
Oh yeah.
Love Braden. Braden didn't have his best season. He had a few challenges, bad luck. I think his first race, he passed out or something and fell over, and everyone thought he died, and apparently he didn't, but...
I can personally attest to this. Braden's fine.
Yeah.
Better than fine. Yes.
But Braden's just an awesome kid. Awesome to ride with. Oh, we love Braden.
very classy rider.
He is. He's Braden, just a great.
Braden has a future as a bike industry model, I think. He makes stuff look good.
He does. But just a great rider, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next year, and
yeah,
is going to have an awesome season. So thanks for being awesome, Braden. So another shout out I need to do is Amy Larkin. Yesterday, have you heard of, it's like the Javelina Jundrit, I think. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not heard of this.
So I might have totally botched that, which wouldn't.
It sounds like you probably did, but there's a world where you could be right, but.
So Amy Larkin competed in that with other various Larkins, and I guess it's a 100-mile trail run that you do in a Halloween costume.
That's the most Larkin-coded thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Yeah. So way to go. That's super awesome. Like, the thing with these big running races is, like, honestly, I don't know if I could do a 5K right now. Like, if I had to do a 5K,
I'd be sore for a couple of days if I did a 5K.
Yeah. I don't.
100 miles of
trail. And I was thinking about, like, 100 miles, if I have to drive 100 miles.
What's a 100-mile round trip from here? Or if you just,
like,
I guess if you
like drove, Provo and back.
Oh.
Like down, well, even maybe even further than Provo.
Further than Provo, yeah. Wouldn't it? You'd be driving it. Or, like, that'd be like driving from, what, here to Fillmore? Not quite.
I don't know.
It's in the neighborhood. Who knows?
But that was a long way. Way to go.
Wow.
A lot of people, some people are cooler than me.
So, hey, that was too easy. It's not even a layup, you know? When you were a kid and you'd take the hoop and move it down to 4 feet so you could dunk.
But yeah, way to go, Amy. That's so cool. But yeah, I think that's all the shout outs I have.
I do have one. And this is, I don't know if even really where to direct this, because I think this applies to a huge number of people, but I was riding Quarry yesterday, and I just kind of stopped. I was going down, and this guy was climbing up, and he had a daughter who looked like maybe 13 or 14. And he was like, "Oh, are you?" Because I was wearing my Maybird kit. I always ride my Maybird kit. This guy was like, "Oh, are you on the Maybird team?" I was like, "Oh, yeah." He starts talking, and he was like, And you know, the team's big, and I'm only really dealing with, like, my green boys for the most part. I was like, "Oh, are you guys on the team?" He's like, "Oh, no, we're on the Aspire team," which is the team that the Fongers run out in kind of Harriman area. He's like, "Oh, no, we're on the Aspire team, but we did all the midweek races this year. And there's this group of girls from Maybird who did the midweek races who were so nice to my daughter." And he was saying, like, one of them, like, helped her out with, like, you know, like, there were people that helped her out with stuff, and that they were just, like, the nicest. You know, he was like, "Every time I pass someone from Maybird, they're, like, they're the nicest people, and there's like, that," and I'm sure you'll agree with me, that means an indescribable amount, that, like, the culture of this team. Because I was actually talking to Andrew, like, Quarry is my backyard trail now. I'm very, very lucky. I ride on Quarry all the time. And I have noticed a pronounced nosedive in trail etiquette for mountain bikers on Quarry, to the extent that I've flagged down two or three people and been like, "Hey, stop," and been like, "Chewed them out. Like, dude, you are riding like a total idiot. This is a hiking trail. People are going to kick us off these." Like, and so to know that people on this team are like setting the bar of like how you deal with people out on the trails, being helpful, like the, like really like just personifying the ride strong, be kind motto. Like, I don't even know. And it's probably, we have a huge number of girls that have been out doing those midweeks. So like, this goes to all of you guys, like, freaking bravo, dude. People notice. And it's a big, like, to the extent that this guy like flagged me down on the trail to tell me how impressed he was. So for the crew of Maybird girls who do the midweeks in particular, like, very, very well done. This is the biggest shout out of the year.
I mean, a little kindness goes a long way.
It really does.
It really does.
It really, really does.
You know, and if you can be a good athlete, you can be a talented athlete, and you can be kind as well, you just kind of blow people's minds. So
really,
let's keep that culture up. Yeah. It always just means so much to me when I hear that our riders are, that it's a pleasure to run into our riders. And yes. I hope that that's the case.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, like there's bigger knock-on effects, you know, like we're always talking about how we want more trails and stuff. And like, this is a really big, maybe even the biggest part of it. You know, like if people think mountain bikers are a nuisance and they hate dealing mountain, you know, and like I'm sure there are people who go out and hike and cringe every time they hear a bike coming because they think it's about to be a bad or scary experience, you know? And probably more the latter, just people are just scared of mountain bikers. If we have people who are like...
Like my wife won't ride on trails if bikes are allowed because she's afraid
or won't walk on trails if bikes are allowed.
That's what ride. I meant. Oh, whoops,
there, yeah. I people get it, you know?
She won't do either, I guess.
Yeah, hey, there you go. But yeah, like have that be the culture of this team forever and ever if we never accomplish anything else.
Yes. So actually, I did think of another... shout out. So Ben Lowry has always had a fascination with the White Rim Trail.
Yes.
And he has taken so many groups on the White Rim Trail.
Yeah.
And always kind of been the support, or he'll take his company out there and they'll do it in 3 days or something.
Yeah.
And I guess just a few days ago, he and Soren, his youngest son, did the White Rim in 1 day. And he was talking to me. He was kind of nervous about being able to complete it. And it was a pretty big, ambitious thing for him. He crushed it. His time looked awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Like, way to go, Ben. And I mean, this kind of ties in a little bit to what we're going to be talking about today. But I've just always found like getting motivated to work and train is always so much easier if you've got some kind of big, crazy idea in your head somewhere that you'd like to accomplish, you know, and that kind of, way to go, Ben. That's super cool. And Soren too, but it probably was.
How old's Soren now?
Oh gosh, 14, 15.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
50, yeah.
That's wild. I think of Soren as being like
and
a little
kid. And Soren actually is someone that we probably, like, he had a killer Nike season.
Yeah.
Like I can't remember. I'm probably going to botch some of the details, but like, I think he started out in like JVC and was getting on the podium. So moved up to JVB or something and was way up there too, even though he's having to start at the back and just had a shockingly good season and it's kind of caught fire. And he was one that was a little reluctant at first to start riding it because both of his siblings did it. And
big shoes to fill there too.
Yeah. You know, and he's kind of starting to catch fire. So he's one I really wanted to shout out last week that I didn't either. So, And again, you know, if you know of anyone that needs a shout out, just let us know.
Oh my gosh. Let us know. It was easier to shout.
I just got thinking, I'm like, wait, I forgot to check my messages right before
we record.
This,
yeah. Maybe, send them over.
Maybe I might've missed some other people. So, but that's kind of all I have. We don't really have much news, I guess. Well, never mind. I'll save that for later. But
yeah. This is kind of a quiet part of the bike season. There's nothing
which is
like, kind of
nice, to be
like,
honest.
You go to cycling news and all it is just like contract disputes this time of year. There's kind of nothing. They revealed the tour route. You know, it's like, it's funny. It is funny. I will say all three Grand Tours are like designing their routes and stuff to try and get Pogacar to do it. They're starting the Vuelta in Monaco where he lives. And they're like, the director of the Vuelta was out there saying like, oh, you know, this is the last thing he hasn't done is won the Vuelta, you know. That's funny. But there's not a whole lot of bike news, which, like you said, is kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know.
So today's topic is one of those that we talk about it every season. And it's hugely important. And because we talk about it every season, I kind of wanted to take a little bit of a different approach to it. But it's one of the keys. Like, I would say if I wanted to like look at a rider and kind of predict how good they were without knowing who they were.
Are you talking about winter training?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See that, hey, that's good. I was able to guess based on that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I would first kind of look at the amount of time they spend, you know, kind of their consistency, their volume.
Yeah.
Maybe
how long they've been doing it, some other stuff, but
one of the biggest things is kind of what they do over the winters.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and if they sit around, if they do absolutely nothing over the winter, nothing aerobic over the winter, that kind of says a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and, it's truly one of the biggest factors for succeeding as a cyclist. It's also one of the things that can also be that leads to people's downfall as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a make you or break you thing, depending on how it's done.
When we got into this, I remember you saying something along the lines of one of the biggest advantages that you have as a rider is that you're actually doing this year round. You know, the Nike is not a seasonal thing that you're training year round. I mean, 10-ish years later, it's a requirement. Like, there are zero kids in varsity who aren't doing aerobic training over the winter. There are none. Like, it's not, it's like, it's just one of those things that has become, even outside of varsity, well into the JVs, you know, and really the, probably the top half of any race at least is doing significant aerobic training over the winter. And we talked last week about the kind of like the difference between, say, like off season versus winter training, which I'm sure we'll get into. But yeah, I think we've progressed to a point where like it's not optional anymore.
That's a really good point, because I used to always kind of point out it's like you can be training during the winter and while everyone else is getting slower, you're
like an
gaining
advantage.
It's like an advantage now. It's kind of like, but like I say, it is something that has to, like with anything that's potent, like when you're dealing with like medication and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Like you got to be careful because the right dose is critical.
Yes.
You know, like too much of a medication is almost worse than not taking any kind of thing, you know. So
ibuprofen makes your sore throat go. If you eat the whole bottle, you get ulcers, right? You know,
yeah,
it nukes your liver. It's not.
Yeah. So you know, there's the to anything we ever talk about, the Goldilocks principle applies.
Yes. Standard disclaimer.
So, but it is super important. But I did kind of want to approach it differently than I have in the past. And so the other day, I went to one of my coworkers' houses for some reason, and I was out in front of his house. It was like a nice afternoon. I think neither of us wanted to really go back to work, so we kind of sat out there talking for about an hour, you know. And I kind of got this guy's life story. Really nice guy. Apparently, he was as a youth, he was really into baseball, and was kind of on track to become perhaps a professional baseball player at some point. I mean, he was good.
Which says something in America.
Yeah.
You know,
and
every kid plays baseball. That's pretty good.
And he basically just, his life was baseball. He basically just dedicated his life to baseball. But secretly, he wanted to ride BMX bikes.
Really?
Yeah. You know, but baseball wouldn't really allow it. And, you know, and he just kept at it. But he eventually just kind of reached a point in college where it just, like, the joy was gone. Lost it, and just decided he just didn't want to do it anymore. And, you know, he just basically got completely burned out.
Yeah.
And so fast forward to today, you know, he coaches his girls' softball team. And, you know, it's interesting because when you talk about different sports, you think it would be totally different, but it's not.
I feel like humans share 50% of their DNA with a banana. You know, there's like a lot of fundamental that you almost take for granted because it's so basic.
Yeah.
But that is true.
You know, it was interesting hearing him talk about like his girls' softball team. And there was so much that was similar to what we deal with in cycling.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really just interesting to listen to.
That is interesting.
You know, two totally different sports, but.
Because we've only ever existed in cycling. Like, none of us ever did other sports.
Well, I mean, you did, like, soccer and stuff as kids, but not
seriously.
But not super seriously.
Not anything, like, on the level of this, so that's interesting.
And, you know, and he was saying that, like, he's like, you know, he's like, you wouldn't believe it, but, like, some of these club, because he coaches, like, a club team, and he's like, you know what, I put everything into this team. He's like, and it almost sounded like this team to him was kind of like Maybert is to me. You know, he's like,
yeah,
he's like, you know, that's kind of why I do what I do, is so I have time.
Right. Yeah.
To work on this team.
Your whole life.
Is, you know, he's like, but it's amazing. Some of these other club teams that we play against, it's just a year round thing for them. Like they're just dedicated to this sport year round. And he's like, you know, but my experience growing up, and with my baseball, I decided that I'm not going to do that to my team.
Interesting.
And the interesting thing is, he's like, you know what? My team hasn't won a game yet. and we're getting killed everywhere we go. But I do feel like it's good for these girls, you know? And he's like, and I believe in what I'm doing, you know? And I'm like,
uh-oh. We're in nuance land this week, huh?
I'm like, okay, which is, you know, which got me thinking, you know, it's so interesting because one thing that we're really trying to do is, you know, as Maybert, is develop lifelong cyclists, you know.
Right.
that not only are we successful in our NICA races and in our club races and whatever,
yeah,
you know, that this is also sustainable too. And, you know, so, so obviously a lot of what we do, we try to teach to help prevent and avoid burnout. But I got thinking about that. You know, you, you kind of think of like, well, first of all, as we've said before, the typical NICA kid doesn't really burn out. They just move on.
Right. Yeah. Cause burnout would be the wrong way to describe, yeah, you know, when your average NICA kid doesn't keep riding bikes, you mean?
Yeah. They just kind of, they're they just like, move on. Yeah. They just move on. You know, it's not like they got burned out of math of pre-algebra. They just moved on.
Right. Know? Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I really think that like most kids that do NICA don't really do much after they graduate from high school. That's just kind of,
it's really a, it's a pretty small percentage. No, I'll say even on this team, you know, like it's not, even on this team, it's not the majority of kids who are seriously riding post high school.
Yeah. So we've mentioned before that kind of like burning out is like a term that kind of gets overused and,
yeah,
and you know, it's kind of used, it's something that's pretty serious, that the term's often used to describe something that's not a huge deal.
Or more often than not, like legit burnout is kid was on fire, putting a huge amount of work in, but it initially was getting a really significant reward, so it made sense. And then, you know, you dedicate so much of your life and you give up. I mean, there's an opportunity cost to training, especially in an aerobic sport where there's so many hours. And, you know, like, you know, you give up enough and then the results kind of stop. It's usually the results stop coming. Like, mm-hmm, you've said, it's, you know, like Braden Johnson didn't burn out and he's, you know, because he made it all the way to the World Cup. Right. Where other kids, it's like, they'll have that rough season or two and then the math just doesn't make sense anymore for how much they have to put into it. And then it's, what's the way you've put it even recently? It's like, it's, how did you put it? You put it well, and I hate to admit it. So I wish you'd put me out of my misery and just say it.
I can't remember.
No, but you basically just said like, it almost just stops making sense. And the joy, it's like the joy is kind of gone.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because with all other things, like if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you're winter training. I don't think there's a ton of people listening to this who aren't winter training, would be my guess. Do you think that's fair to say?
That's a really good point, which makes me realize this episode's kind of pointless. But
no, but you have to walk the line, because I think that what this guy, the thing is, your coworker, I don't think is insane. I think he's probably being a little overcautious and assuming that everyone is just like him. But I do kind of get it.
But, well, and I was going to get back to my conversation with him, because my conversation with him made me realize something cool about our sport and about where we live that really is...
Oh, the forced seasonality of it?
Yeah, yeah, you know, I think that's kind of a blessing, but it did make me kind of think about... Because, like, when you think about, you know, the typical kid that burns out, you know, like, a lot of times it's a rider that, like, you know, they train through the winter, they do the national races in the spring,
right,
and then they do NICA... And that works for a little while, but then they kind of reach a point where...
Yeah, it stops working.
It stops working, you know. And but on the other hand, you think about the kids that have stuck with it past NICA and have continued to do well past, mm-hmm, NICA. They almost follow the same... They're almost doing the same thing, you know. Like,
that's when a good point.
You know, when you're thinking about your Gabe Nordas or your AJ Conovers or those kind, yeah, of riders, you know.
Xander and Riker and those guys.
Yeah, you know, they would train through the winters, they would do the national races, they'd do the NICA races and so forth, you know. So it's almost like there's a fine line between, because really the kids that continue after NICA get to, it's almost like because they get to a point of competence that's super rewarding, you know. And
yeah,
you know, so it's almost like you kind of have to do a lot to be able to get to a point where you want to do it post NICA, but also doing that same thing can sometimes lead to burnout. Other kids,
yeah.
So it's almost like there's a fine line there somewhere that, you know, there's a fine line between like the doing enough, yeah, that promotes longevity, and there's, but then
keeping
also,
the fire going without burning your house down kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so, and so I think kind of what we're talking about is one of those things that, like, if done right, could help produce really, really good results and progression,
yeah,
and longevity. But if you do it wrong, it could be one of those things that could also lead to eventual burnout, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I see. And as I was talking to my friend on the driveway, you know, it really sounded like some of these kids, like they're basically just doing softball year round. And I don't know, like kids that play soccer, it's kind of like,
yeah,
that's just kind of all they're doing year round. But we're mountain bikers. We, as much as I'd like to.
Yeah. As much as I'd love to live in Southern California, I don't.
We really can't, you know? Yeah. And so I do think the winter is a blessing that.
Wish it wasn't quite so long, but yes.
It really is a blessing because it just kind of forces us, like, even like those that ride their bikes during the winter, it still looks different.
It's not the same. When I was telling Tessa this, I'm like, I kind of told her a couple weeks ago, I'm like, hey, we're at the end of the season. The snow's going to fly soon. I'm really going to make some sacrifices to make sure I'm getting these rides in because I know that, and honestly, even I'm tired right now, like school's, I've just got through the first quarter of school. We've got some other crazy stuff going on in our personal lives that we're dealing with, like good stuff, by the way, like, but just like a lot, like my life's a lot. And there's some days where I'm like, I don't want to ride. I want to lay down and just scroll through reels. Right. But I'm like, I need to get out and do it because I know February is going to come and there's going to be a Tuesday on February. I get home from work and I would kill and like literally would go like would kill someone for a bike ride, right? For like a warm summer bike ride up in park, up in Bob's Basin or something, you know, not even like the best, you know, like something. And that the seasonal nature of this really makes you appreciate it. Cause even right now I honestly feel burned out. And I haven't ridden almost at all because that's just how my life is going right now. I almost feel like, and not maybe burnout's the wrong word, but just exhausted at the end of a long season.
Need a break.
But the winter, so I should say, first off, the winter is a blessing. And I actually really look forward to, in a weird way, I look forward to Zwifting and the winter hikes we get to do. I'm learning to ski and that's bringing me a lot of joy. I get it, you know, like not that, and that's a slightly different thing than what we're going to talk about. But like, I want to say, first off, like the winters in Utah are a blessing and you get to live in a cool place over the winter and there's a lot of cool things that you can do in winter training. And maybe to kind of get you rolling, winter training can look like a lot of different things.
Yeah. You know, and as I was talking to my buddy, I got thinking about like a lot of these things that we do during our winter training, because we really can't, you can't go ride your bike in a park city, you know.
No.
You know, these things that we do in its place really aren't any worse at making us a better athlete overall.
No. More and more I realize I don't believe in cycling. I really believe in aerobic endurance athletics.
Absolutely.
In the mountains is what I believe in. And honestly, like as much as I think bikes are the best, there have been people who have taken what we've taught them in Maybird and parlayed that into a career doing other stuff. You know, Rylan Shadegg, who passed away, a lot of people my age, he was the man. He passed away in an accident like a month ago. But I hadn't realized because he hadn't been big on Instagram, but like he was like third in the country, I want to say, in 2016. And he'd taken that and turned it, he was doing like some kind of Xterra trail run and then you paraglide off the mountain kind of thing. Like I think all endurance mountain sports are really, really cool. And I love whatever you're going to do with it. I think that's, or like the Skimo kids, I'm like, dude, that's awesome. You know, I happen to have decided to stay with biking because I think it's the best. And I think most people kind of realize that eventually, but there's a lot of really cool stuff. Even for us, like the winter hiking, it's not an event per se. It's not competitive, but it's
cheap and awesome.
I love that. Yeah. It is so much fun.
Yeah. So really like these different aerobic activities that we can do in lieu of cycling, they're fun. It's a change. And it really like, but by the time race season rolls around,
yeah,
the fitness is ultimately by then going to be about the same.
I've really found my FTP doesn't change in a massive way throughout the year anymore. And granted, I'm not like most of these kids. I'm sure that happens for you guys and you can really, you're sharpening the stick towards races a lot more than I am. But I also want to make the point that like, I think some people, and even for me a little bit, you can burn out of the bike for the year, or you can kind of need a break from the bike. You can definitely need a break from race specific interval training. I don't think I ever want to break from aerobic exercise. Yeah. I think that's like a core pillar of my mental health. Like, and so it's almost a beautiful thing that like that it looks different throughout the year. And there are some times when I'm just tired and I need a week off, but like there's I don't think that aerobic exercise should ever be seasonal for you. I think what it looks like probably should be, though. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, very well said. You know, and so when we had that recent Zoom meeting with Justin Ross,
which was excellent, by the way,
which was so good, and we need to put a new link up on the website.
I've been very.
I've busy. Actually had people ask me about it.
So and Squarespace is easy to use. You can do it too. Well, unpaid ad for Squarespace there. That's why our website looks so good. I'll get it done.
But really kind of what that boiled down to was when he said, above all else, preserve the joy.
Yes.
Or protect the joy. Boy, I just botched that.
Dang, I'm not going to let you go back. Okay, do it again. Take two. Okay. Ready? Go.
Above all else, protect the joy. Okay, nailed I read it that time.
Nailed it.
And that is really, I think that really is what... almost like the theme of our winter should be is that this winter is something that we can use to help protect the joy of what we do, you know, and I just think that's just such a super important concept that should really be in the forefront of our minds and of, you know, the minds of your parents as they're encouraging you throughout the sport. But how do we protect the joy? You know, for taking it from this angle, how do we use the winter to help protect the joy of the sport? Winter training is just super important in this because, like, one, it's a break from the competition. Like, having competition coming up is a lot of stress.
I think very few people would operate optimally with that kind of pressure on them all the time. I don't even think Nino Schurter wants that year round.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's super important that we just have a period of time where we don't have competition, that we can kind of take a break from that stress. And I know that racing is different levels of stress for different people.
Yeah.
And some people it's not like kind of thrive on it more than others. Other people it's more agonizing, but I think it's a good chance to just take a little break from that.
Yeah.
It's a break from the travel.
Yes.
You know, like that's something that's kind of, cause I'm like at a race every other weekend, most the season, you know, and it is nice to like every once in a while I have a Saturday where I'm like, I'm not going anywhere.
I think especially when you live in a place like this, you live in the Salt Lake Valley. I'm like, why are you leaving here ever? I don't know. I'm a real homebody and I really love it here and I like my routines, and it's a beautiful thing to travel, but yeah, like, you know, there's something to be said for having a Saturday to just kind of go and, you know, hang out in your own backyard, not have to sleep in a Marriott.
And obviously recovery. And you know, depending on how, I imagine a lot of our riders were probably a little overtrained last season, you know, maybe not to anything that's really concerning or dangerous, but it's also just a chance to get as much recovery as you need as an individual, you know, and some people probably not a whole lot. Other people, probably a bit, you know, and then just some variety too.
Yes.
You know, it really is nice to just sometimes, you know, the old phrase, a change is just as good as a rest, you know?
So. Yeah. I also think the older I get, the more I think it's lame to not have a thing that you're really good at. I really do believe that. I think you should have a thing that you are really good at. I also think it's lame to only be good at one thing. You know, like I when I worked at Backcountry, it was like every single person went some combination of mountain biking, climbing, skiing, river rafting, trail running like 3 times a year. And they weren't really good at any of them. And they just did it for the Instagram pictures. But I also kind of think like there was a long time in my life where like the only thing the only thing I was good at was riding bikes. And so I think to have some other competencies that you really like get into, like, obviously and we're probably going to talk about just kind of your resort style alpine skiing. I'm trying to get good at that because it's good to be good at some other stuff. That I know, I want to make clear when we're talking about this, doesn't really serve cycling, and actually on net, maybe even detracts from it a little bit when you consider the injury risk. But like I've had, and I keep going back to this, I have derived an unspeakable amount of joy from winter hikes in the foothills of Salt Lake City.
I had a whole hiking section.
Okay, we're going to get into that, right? But like, or even like the Cottonwood Heights Rec Center has racquetball.
I actually think hiking is just one of the...
Hiking's the coolest thing ever. I love how democratic it is too, because anyone can do it. I learned how to play racquetball. I don't do that as much as I probably should, but like, that's a great, that's a really fun game to learn how to play that you can do with a lot of different people. That's a lot of fun, you know?
Remember
like,
when our family went and played basketball on Christmas Eve?
That was hilarious.
Eve?
That was really funny. I think if a Maybird kid came to me and said, I'm going to be doing a basketball league all winter, I'd be like, that's awesome. That's awesome, you know? So like, if you are kind of like me and maybe this is your first athletic thing you've done, like bikes, like, congratulations, you've earned some competency in this. I think I would argue it should still be your main thing because mountain biking is the coolest thing ever, but like, it's also cool to learn Nordic skiing. I'm sure we're getting into like, learn how to Nordic ski, mm-hmm. you know, like there's, I think there's something to be said for having multiple competencies, especially with outdoor sports, because there's a whole world of fun that are like specific types of fun that are only on offer in these different activities.
But you can also develop different skills and strengths and balance from these different activities.
Yes.
That will serve to make you a better cyclist too.
100%.
Like 100%. You're really not sacrificing.
No, not at all.
But, you know, another way that the winters can help protect the joy of what we do is, and I think this is really important too, is it can help us progress.
Yeah.
Because progression is motivating, and it seems like when we feel like we're not progressing, that's demotivating. And I think of so many times, like I know some riders that they'll show up for like an early spring ride, hadn't done anything all winter. They don't do well. They can't keep up with their friends. They can't keep up with their peers. And you would think that might be motivation for them to go out and get working, but no.
Usually not.
It's kind of like, oh, this sucks.
And it takes them 6 months to warm back into it. And then by that time, there's only 2 months of the season left. And
So I really think that if you can use the winter to become a better athlete, so that you're more ready when the season comes back, I do think that that helps protect some of the joy of the sport, is just knowing that you're progressing. And I'm still kind of thinking back to what you said, that it used to be kind of like this secret advantage, like a secret weapon, that you were getting faster over the winter while everyone else was getting slower.
It was just skiing is what it was back then.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, everyone does it. So
maybe we should address downhill skiing real quick.
Let's talk about it.
Because we live in a really cool place with some of the best skiing on the earth for now.
Like my in-laws, neither of them are from Utah. Like they live here because, and there's probably a lot of people listening to this where like your parents moved here because of the skiing. Ski Utah, it's the best snow in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Skiing's wonderful.
Yeah. Super cool, super fun.
I have some visceral thoughts on the Utah ski industry and a couple of resorts in particular that I'm not going to share on this podcast because I'm a public employee. but like skiing is, and I've kind of alluded to this, downhill skiing in and of itself is not really an aerobic sport, and it will not make you faster on the mountain bike, but it's a lot of fun. It is good for you, I think, especially if you have good judgment. Right. Like if you're, you know, I don't know. I have some friends who like throw themselves off cliffs and they're injured all the time. Like that's not probably great.
Maybe think twice before doing the backflips. We've had a couple back injuries from that.
But like just going and like skiing at a resort, provided you're doing it safely, it builds a lot of strength. It's great for your coordination. Most importantly though, I think it's a lot of fun as long as you're being safe. I do have to say that the rate of injury in skiing is just really high. So like there's that to consider. It is not, are we okay saying it's not winter training? It's a winter activity. Is that fair? Are we going to is someone going to cut my head off for this?
All I would say is if it's all you do throughout the winter and you show up to ride in the spring, you'll be at a disadvantage.
The World Cup athletes are not just downhill skiing their way through winter. I don't totally want to say it's not training. Because
way better than, there's a lot of strength involved, a lot of core strength involved.
There is a correlation where a lot of our best riders are also phenomenally good skiers. But I don't know that I would link the two to the, I think like all things equal, like a kid, like a random Nike kid who has some skiing experience is probably going to be a better bike handler.
I think you're comfortable moving down a mountain fast.
Should we maybe say it doesn't serve your bike fitness in a really direct way?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I'm just saying you really need to do other things.
Yes.
It can't be the only, you know, it can't be like you ride bikes in the summer and then hang them up and only downhill ski. That's fine, but you'll be at a disadvantage if that's how you do it.
Yeah.
My other complaint about skiing is it's just kind of like, it just takes so long. Like when you consider the amount of time to drive,
the amount of money and how much a pass costs these days.
So I do, I used to do it a lot in high school and stuff. I do different things now.
Yeah.
But
I will say, provided that you have good risk management skills, we will never tell you not to do it. But it's also, it just is not going to.
It just can't be the only thing. Yeah. Which I think everyone gets that.
The horse has been dead for 20 minutes and we're still beating it.
yeah. So let's just talk about, we'll just talk about some of the things to include this winter that are, you know, in the past, my phrase, when you think of winter training, the phrase I want you to remember is do something every day that helps you be a better athlete.
Yes. Which is a great, I hate to give you credit. And you know that if I'm giving Dan credit, so this has to be really good because I don't like giving you credit. Like, that is such a good thing because that does mean some days resting is what's going to make you better, right?
So, exactly.
You know, like, yeah.
And in fact, if you just did, like, there's some things you could do every day. Like if you did strength training every single day.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That might not make you a better athlete because it might wear you out, you know?
Right,
so
exactly.
Yeah. So just do something every day that's going to make you a better athlete.
100%.
So let's just talk. Yeah, the first thing you got to include is rest. You know, I think a lot of people might, you know, it's like when they're in the bike season and they're following a training plan that has them rest every third or fourth week or whatever.
Yeah.
I worry that sometimes people skip that during the winter.
Yes.
I think if you're training regularly in the winter, you need to continue to include rest.
If nothing else, just from the mental side of it too.
Yeah. You know, rest, you know, take your off season and then get into the winter training. And as you need rest throughout your winter training, just like during the bike season, you still need to rest.
Yes.
Okay. Core, you know, we've addressed core and you compared it to flossing your teeth. And I floss my teeth so much more after that podcast. but I was pretty good before, but I haven't done core since. And since I've got a bad back, I've been thinking I'm going to do a lot of core this winter. So winter's a great time to start doing your core. My thing on core is I always said, you know, like do core while you're still wearing your kit.
Yeah.
It just kind of takes away one of the barriers to starting that. Great time to start doing some core.
Yes.
Okay. And I think every one of these little topics we're going to talk about, we'll probably do an entire episode on them at some point.
Got to stretch this podcast to the winter somehow.
Yeah.
I was going to say pay the bills, but this podcast very much caught. By the way, hey, sponsor us, please. please. I'll say whatever you want about your company.
Another thing to work on during the winter is physical therapy. Like,
yes,
if you've got knees that have been bothering you during your rides or your hips.
Oh boy, if you have those problems and as a teenager, you'd better get on top of that right away. Yeah,
the winter is a great time, like back trouble.
Yep.
Winter is a great time to do to find some root causes and really kind of go after those things and
get it diagnosed. Your insurance will cover it.
Do the strengthening or the PT or whatever you need to address those issues. 100%. Winter is a great time for that. Strength training.
Yep.
We need to do a few podcasts on this.
Yep. Shout out WooCar.
Yeah. WooCar.
Art is having probably the greatest run of all time of athletes. He has had something to do with doing cool stuff, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it definitely seems like when Art's working with you, somehow you get faster. I don't know.
I don't want to just like, I really think even philosophically, a lot of the underpinnings of our kind of basic philosophy on this team, I don't know if they come from Art, but they're certainly similar. When he talks, I listen.
Yeah. Truly a Jedi master.
Truly. Yeah.
So yeah, strength training. I mean, I think that's one of the big new things that like a lot of the really successful pro athletes have in common.
Yes.
Is they do strength training. So something to get going on during the winter and maintain throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of those things, but then there's the aerobic cross training.
Yes.
And
the fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll just talk about a few of these. And the cool thing is during the winter, you can kind of pick and choose.
Right.
You know, you can do any combination of these and and honestly, I would just do whatever brings you the most joy, to be honest.
100%.
Or the most convenient. But first one, running.
Yep.
Running has a lot of advantages. It's it's very inexpensive. It doesn't require a whole lot of equipment. It's easy to do when it's cold.
You're very safe.
Yeah. So my advice, if you're not a runner, which I'm not a runner, I'd like to run more. I admire people that can run. I'm just not very good at it.
We're always talking about it.
Yeah.
Still hasn't happened. We're keep working on it.
I really do want to do more of it this winter.
Are we going to throw out, I can cut this if we're not planning on doing it, but Amy Larkin has run the running clinics.
I was getting to that. Okay, good. Yes, yes.
I don't want to commit that she's going to do it again, but I really hope she will because they're so cool.
They're so fun. Yeah, Amy Larkin's going to be doing the running groups again. They are amazing. It's almost like going to a little kid. It's like a little kid's birthday party when you have like, that's always what it feels like. You got like these games and prizes and stuff. And
like, we're not meeting at the track and running trails. It's like parents, if you want your kid to like send them, like they're so good.
And parents do it too. Like parents come along. Please. And yeah.
Always helpful to get that kid to grown up ratio looking a little better. Please come.
It's real. They're really fun. And Amy is so creative. It blows my mind. Like
she's very good at it.
She is really good at it. It's super fun. And this is coming from someone that does not like running. I love running group.
Yeah.
I was going to say too about running, just some running advice from a non-runner for what it's worth is I would suggest, you know, like if you want to get into it, maybe polarize your running and, a couple days a week actually run, but then the other days do brisk walks instead.
Yep.
You know, and the days you actually run, those are kind of your hard days. And then the brisk walks are your easy days, you know. Yep. I think that's a pretty good way to get into it. Also run walks where you go out.
Especially at the beginning, ease yourself in.
Yeah, you know, you run part of the time, walk part of the time. That's a good way to get into it. Gradually get into running. Don't do the...
You have a really high level of aerobic fitness that will make it feel like you can run super hard, but like the rest of your hardware isn't up to it, or it's not yet. Cause I always do the thing where I go to the first couple running groups and then I blow up my knees and I can't walk for a week. And so ease in. Running has a huge amount of form. It's funny cause like everyone knows how to run, but nobody knows how to run, kind of a thing.
Well, and it's cool because running groups are designed so you're not just running the whole time.
Yes.
It mixes a little bit of both.
Can't plug the running groups enough. Please come. So those will be scheduled in the future.
Yeah. So running is awesome. I want to talk about backcountry skiing.
Okay.
So backcountry skiing is just awesome. Before I say anything else about backcountry skiing, I want to remind people to do it safely and smartly.
A handful of people die every year. Yeah. It is massively dangerous. Here's the thing with backcountry skiing. Like if you haven't gone, don't let us make you go. Like if you're already doing it, you're doing, like we're not, and this really kind of applies to any of the snow sports. Backcountry skiing, because of the nature of what you're doing in particular, it's the avalanche risk. There's technically avalanche risk snowshoeing in a lot of, I mean, not technically, there just is, right? It is a dangerous thing to do. Even if there was the case of that guy that, I want to say our friend Connor, one of our original Maybird riders, one of his really close friends, I might be making this up, but who died in a backcountry ski accident that was triggered by someone above them. Like he was doing everything. It's kind of like road biking. Yeah. There's an amount of risk that you incur. So we do want to say with this one, and it is, I have also heard a lot of people say that, especially since COVID, backcountry skiing has blown up, and a lot of people who are not ready for it yet and have not done the classes and have the Avi gear and stuff are kind of getting into it. Like, and you actually might be able to talk about, you've kind of been able, you got a split board now and you're doing some, I guess it's technically just kind of touring in the backcountry, but in a very controlled and safe way. Like maybe you should talk about your kind of in the middle option.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I kind of have a little bit of beef with some of the ski resorts and,
a little bit. Don't ask me my thoughts when you're recording.
And just
me.
Like driving up to them. And it's just, and I love kind of the backcountry skiing option.
Yes.
But I just want to, I can't emphasize enough that it needs to be done safely.
Yes.
Because, you know, you need to go to safe places when conditions are safe. You don't do it alone. You go with somebody who knows what they're doing. You go to a place that you know where you're going.
Yes.
You know, you don't
go with the right equipment.
And you go with the right equipment.
With beacons and shovels and all, the whole nine yards.
I just can't overemphasize that enough. You know, it can be, there's places you can do it relatively safely.
And like you got, you'll go up like just Mill Creek Road or Porter Fork, where there's, or like the,
or Guardsmen's,
the, or Guardsmen's, or, like yeah. the, where it's, there's essentially, I don't, you, there's never no avalanche risk, right? But where there's a significantly less,
yeah.
you know.
And I did, I do have, I now have like the beacon and shovel and all that stuff,
right.
you know, but I still don't plan on going anywhere where I'm likely to have to use it, but you do.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a really, really cool thing. Just do it carefully.
It's like you can kind of carelessly mountain bike, like as long as you're wearing a helmet, like you're not going to get, you know, people, it's, I tell people, I tell my kids this all the time because they have very little exposure to it. Like mountain biking really is a very, it's a very non-lethal thing to do. I don't want to say safe because you get hurt, right? But like backcountry skiing and road biking are kind of these two activities that a lot of us do all the time, despite the fact that there is a really significant amount of irreducible risk, even if, like I said, this guy Connor knew, I believe if I'm thinking of the right case, and if it's not him, it was someone, like, was doing everything right, and sometimes avalanches just happen mm-hmm. above you, or someone triggers one above you. So, yeah. like...
But there's places you can go where that's less of a risk, and, yeah. you know, and, yeah. So just be smart, be safe, really use as much of your frontal cortex as you have, and...
Not enough, right? I do want to say, too, there was the case of the guy, I was just thinking of Porter Fork, there was the guy who was hiking on Upper Porter Fork and died in an avalanche last year, yeah, right? Yeah. So, like, which is another reason I love the foothills, because that's another place where I like going there and feel pretty safe going there, because there is very, very low avalanche risk there.
So, we just wanted to throw that out there. I think it's awesome, and I've just been loving the split board.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm really super, excited super about cool. it, but just... We love you, so we don't want you to die.
Don't die. Should we loop Skimo in on this thing?
Well, I was going to say, there's Skimo, there's cross-country skiing, there's just a lot of these fun winter activities that, you know, that are great for us, that are awesome. So the next one I want to talk about is honestly my personal favorite, and it's my favorite for several reasons. One, because, like, to go skiing... You're going to be driving at least an hour or two.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I've heard people can drive to like Powder Mountain faster than they can drive to Snowbird and stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? So yeah, this is my favorite one because it's just really quick and the fitness is awesome and not a lot of people do it. So you're kind of get it to yourself.
Yep.
Can you guess what I'm talking about?
Gambling. Just kidding. Hiking.
Yeah. And especially in some of the, like the foothill type trails.
Yes.
I honestly think as far as our fitness goes, if there's one thing I could have you do over the winter, that's going to help your fitness more than anything is steep hiking.
Yep.
Is going up Grandeur as fast as you can go.
Or even my favorite thing, the cool thing is it's in the snow, you know, and again, assuming you're going somewhere where there's low avalanche risk, go get some gaiters, go wherever you want, you know, like you don't have to even, you know, you can kind of make your own little routes. There's this, up near Jack's Peak, kind of where the H-Rock Trail is, for those of you who are familiar with like the Salt Lake foothills, that is a gorgeous, unbelievably cool, you know, and like you get some good boots, you get some poles, like it's not free, but like, if you're listening to this, like your parents put you on a mountain bike team, they have boots and pole, like, you know, like you have the gear to do this already, more than likely. And for me, like, you know, I plug in my AirPods. I've listened to so many good audiobooks. You take the dog, you know, and it's like, it is tremendously safe. I mean, I there's some precautions I take because some areas you get out of cell coverage, but if someone knows where you're going, like,
yeah.
And it's the foothills too. Like you just go, you need to go down, you just walk downhill.
Yeah. You're not going to get like
crawl
lost.
Downhill. You're not going to die. You know, like it's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you do need the spikes. You need to make sure you have spikes. Spikes are cheap.
Spikes are 50, 60 bucks for a good pair.
Yeah. You can even get bad ones on Amazon that are better than nothing. Yeah. You know?
But you get the spikes. You get, you don't even need, I don't even ever go in snowshoes even really. Like,
Snowshoes are fun to have, but it's pretty rare
that I actually use them.
That you actually need snowshoes. And it's kind of like,
maybe this season will be different with the snow.
Maybe if you need snowshoes, there might be a higher avalanche risk or something.
Yeah, what do you want to say? Yeah.
But, you know, but it's pretty rare that you'll actually need snowshoes.
Yeah.
And I was going to say too, like I would highly encourage hiking with poles.
Yes.
Because you're doing zone 2 or VO2 max type aerobic work with more muscles in your body.
Oh yeah.
which is really kind of a cool thing. I would use poles for that reason alone.
And if you're hiking somewhere sufficiently cool, it's kind of, you get into some of the gnarly stuff where it's,
it is,
it's
nice,
genuinely
to
nice to have them to get back down the hill.
But yeah, I truly think that steep hikes are probably one of the best things you can do to cross train and get you ready to be fast.
100%.
So
bring an Australian kelp.
In fact, a lot of the kids that do like Skimo and that type of stuff, that's one of the workouts they do a lot.
Yep.
Is running up steep mountains fast. So, yeah. So do that. One thing I've always wanted to try is maybe like rucking a little bit. That's where you're wearing, you're doing that, but with a pack. And like one thing you could do is like when you're going up, you carry like a jug of water. When you get to the top, you dump out the water. And so it's lighter on the way down. But just a way to kind of get a little more work in.
The puns are also unbeatable.
The puns.
This activity is called rucking.
Oh, okay. Never
mind. Get it? Because it sounds funny. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. And then like riding outside.
Aha. Asterisks on this one too.
Yeah. I would say if you're a 9-to-5 person, you're working 9-to-5, I wouldn't bother with
it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Some of the kids that go to school and get off at 2, there might be a day where the sun's shining enough that you could get out and do it and be fine. I would say my concerns about riding outside would be like, don't do it when it's below freezing.
Yep. Even when it's not below freezing, it can be below freezing in that it takes one patch of ice. Was it Evan Guyman? Who was it we had on the team?
Yeah, that's right.
I want to say it was Evan. I think it was Evan Guyman who was, he was one of my riders a handful of years ago. And he had a really bad accident riding in the winter because he hit a patch of black ice. Yeah. And like Evan Guyman was a capable bike rider. Like he wasn't, it wasn't like a skill, you know.
It wasn't a skill issue.
I want to say too, like riding on the roads is dangerous, period. Riding on the roads in the winter when your bike lane is shrunk by the snow, you know, because the plows push all the snow into the bike lane, right? Like when the visibility is lower. And then I'll also say like salt in your bike is bad. Like I personally don't ride my bike on the road in the winter if I can avoid it. This is not a thing we push.
No.
Funny enough, it's like we really don't have, and it's like we have some of the riders who like the fat, I think it was Miles got really into the fat bike racing. But even then, like actually riding outdoors is kind of one of the really near the bottom of the list of things we have kids doing over the winter.
Yeah. And I do know some kids that do it and they'll bundle up and they'll go, because I think a lot of times people try to imitate some of the traditional professional based training model, which I don't think is necessary.
The professional based training model is called living in Monaco. Like it's not, you don't really get a whole, I mean, you do see the pros who do it a bit.
And it, honestly, it's kind of going a little out of style too. You know, I don't think you're not seeing that as much. So don't feel like you need to go out in 30 degrees with crappy shoulders and, you know, cause like where the snow melts from the snow that's been plowed, like it freezes before, even if it's not freezing other places. And it's just kind of not worth it. And
on
all the
merits
effort
of the risk alone, I am inclined to say, don't, I'm not going to tell you not to.
And I think there's going to be days where you can,
if it's like, if you do, it's like with the backcountry skiing, if you're doing it the right way.
But don't feel like you need to try to go out and do 4-hour rides every day in the winter. And I know kids that have done it and it didn't end up going so well, to be honest. So
St. George is cool.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, unless you're going to live down there, you're not going to be able to, I mean, like that's almost like a fun.
That's just
thing.
A fun, you
it's,
go there for fun.
It's more fun
to fill your cup.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So I would say it's an option. And if it's a good day and you're, and it's kind of a warm, sunny day. You get off school early.
And you're extremely careful.
And yeah, you know, do it. But don't feel like that's what you have to do to get fast over the winter. So, yeah. So, which kind of leads us to the next thing, which we'll do an entire episode. This is a controversial topic.
Oh, boy.
And that's the trainer.
Yes.
I'm not going to say 2 bits because I got made fun of for saying that. My 2 cents on that is I love my trainer. I'm so grateful for my trainer. I actually enjoy using the trainer.
Yes.
I would rather ride outside when it's a beautiful day, but I would rather ride the trainer when it's below 40 degrees, you know? So, I know there's a lot of people that hate the trainer, and I know there's a lot of people that really would do anything to avoid the trainer. My thing there is usually if people hate the trainer, it's because they don't have a good setup. You know, for the trainer to be a good tool, you have to invest in not just a good trainer, just a good trainer environment, you know, where your trainer's like dedicated, set up. You've got lots of, like, I have like three big, huge fans that blow on me, and I'm in a cold basement. And honestly, like, sometimes I start on my trainer wearing a coat because it's like,
yep,
you know, it's so cool. So, and I've got like, I've got distractions, I've got entertainment. I actually just kind of look forward to my time on the trainer just because I have a really good setup. The other thing too is like, it's always ready to go. In fact, like I have like a charge cable for my iPad and a charge cable for my cell phone. I purposely ordered them in some funky color so nobody could take my charge cables, because yep, I want everything to be right there. So all I have to do is like throw on a pair of bib shorts and throw on my shoes and I am ready to go. It takes me like 2 minutes to get on my trainer. And sometimes it's like when it's kind of cold outside and I'm kind of debating whether I want to ride outside or indoors. Sometimes I just get lazy because I don't want to like bundle up and put shoe covers on to just hop on the trainer. So
I want to throw out, right now. So, I don't want to go too much into this, but, the Wahoo trainers are my favorite. I think they seem to just be better made and last longer and have fewer issues than the competition. A Kicker Core, which is the wheel off one, like the fancy one with the cassette. This is one I use.
That's what I've got.
$399 right now.
Okay, that's
when
cheaper.
When that came out, it was $900.
$390. Okay, that's cheaper than those.
The Kicker Snap used to be.
Or the feedback ones that kids warm up at races mm-hmm. on.
Yeah, it's $400 on Wahoo's website. You can buy like the Garmin Tax wheel on trainer, which wheel on trainers, it's hard for the mountain bike team because it's harder. It's harder to put your bike on it because it's like clamping your bike in instead of clamping your bike on, if that makes sense. And then your tires, but like that's $170.
And like Zwift makes a trainer, don't they?
Zwift made. I don't know if they still do. Okay. I think that kind of didn't. It was supposed to be kind of good, and then some weird stuff happened. What they do now, they have a universal single speed. Basically, you don't put your cassette on the trainer. It's hard to explain. YouTube's a thing. Go research it. But like, the trainer when I got into this, I'm old enough that when I got into this, we had the Nash Bar trainer. Like, smart trainers weren't really a thing. You had like variable resistance trainers where you could like bolt a little janky plastic thing onto your bar and then you could like twist it up to make it harder, right? And it's like you'd get on that and you'd listen to the free U2 album that Apple put on your phone without asking, because that's how long ago this was. Like, that sucks. And if your thought on the trainer is that it's that, like, yeah, that isn't fun. But like, Zwift is really good. Zwift also has, like, you and I use Zwift differently. Zwift has group rides. Zwift has races. They have built-in workouts. There's erg mode where the trainer automatically, like, forces you to put out a certain amount of power or does workouts. Like, you can do it however you want. I'm to the point now where I can do an hour to 90 minutes of Zwift without too much cognitive or mental effort. Like, it's ready. Like I said, it's ready to go. I'm not riding my road bike outside, you know. And it's not even as if, it, you know, it's 5 minutes of setup even if it wasn't, you know. Yeah. Zwift is really good. And I think the two camps are either people who A, haven't used the modern trainer technology, right? B, have the skills and the schedule and the life where they can be backcountry skiing or something. Anywhere I'm like, okay, well, yeah, if my life worked like that too, obviously that's better than Zwift. But like, or C, just aren't into it enough to be training in the winter. Like, I really...
Or D, just have a bad setup.
Yeah, and like I said, $399 for a Kicker Core. Dude, like my shoes cost more than that. Like, that's it's really affordable.
A great Christmas present.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's things I just love about the trainer. Like, so with my training, kind of my guideline is that I try to do about 1,000 kilojoules worth of work a day. That's kind of like,
yeah,
you know. And so like, if I'm doing a hard ride, it ends up being shorter. If I'm doing an easier ride, it needs to be longer. But when I do, to get 1,000 kilojoules on a mountain bike ride, it takes me about like 3 hours.
On the trainer,
about an hour and a half.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it on some of those Maybird rides. I've done it in an hour before. Yeah. That's a rough hour.
That's,
but like,
I can't. Some people can.
It sucks, but I've done it.
Yeah.
We got very close technically.
You know, so So I can just get so much work done on the trainer in not a lot of time. So if you're busy, time crunched, it's really a nice tool to get. You just get a lot more work done in a lot less time.
No one has ever died on Zwift. You know, they don't have in-game cars. But and I don't know. And here's the thing: like I also don't think it should be the only thing you do.
And that's right. Absolutely.
Like you should go outside. The winter is, it's beautiful. It's I genuinely had as a person who probably needs to go to church more than I do, I had like borderline religious experiences hiking. Like Utah in the winter is magically beautiful. Like I can't even think of the adjective that I want to use, right? Like you should be getting outside.
Some of the most amazing experiences I've ever had is on winter hikes.
Yeah.
When it, cause you're like, there's really not a lot of people out there doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to go to some really cool places that you'll never get to go in a ski resort.
Yep.
Or that you normally can't ride your bike to.
And you're hiking up through the cloud. Like we did that when we did Olympus. I remember it was halfway, you know, like you're just looking down into one of those bowls where like the trees are covered in snow and it's so quiet too. Cause the snow kind of, it's amazing.
And another cool thing, we're back into hiking now, but another cool thing is like you can do long hikes.
Oh yeah.
You know, so you can kind of get some of that long base mile type workout.
If you're looking to do that, don't be riding out on the roads for 6 hours. Like go on a 6 hour hike. It's comfortable, right? And the nice thing is you're not moving fast. There's not wind chill. Like I hike in a t-shirt, you know, like a lot of times I'll stow my jacket and like,
yeah,
this last winter would be,
you have to January, bring a lot of,
you know,
yeah.
But here's the thing, for most of us, for me, I get off work every day by 3:15, you know, I get off work every day by like 3:15. Like I even kind of have the time, but I'm like, I don't know, to do all that work to go out and risk my life for an hour out on the streets versus just hop on the trainer on weekdays. And then when over Christmas break, when you got some time or on the weekends and stuff, for those of us who are operating on school schedules, you know, I do think get outside, but like the trainer for me is the bulk of my aerobic training over the winter.
And mine as well. I mean, I do think that the youth should be able to get outside more than I do because they get off at 3 and
versus
I,
5. Yeah.
So, but it's a really valuable tool. I will say that if you absolutely, you know, if you've got a good setup and all that stuff and you just absolutely hate it, then you don't have to do it.
No, but.
But like I say, I think those that hate it aren't doing it right.
Yeah. Zwift even has the bike now, the Zwift bike that's $1,200, which
would be sweet.
It makes a certain amount of sense, like not for everyone, obviously, but like I don't know if like a lot of people listening to this like have the money to throw money at it, and like you can have your bike not be tied up on a trainer, and everyone can use the set, you know, like because I do get like you don't if you've got three kids, you don't have four trainers and have the room for that, but like. I don't like look. The Zwift bike is actually pretty cool.
And can you convert between different riders pretty easily?
Mm-hmm, kind of
which would be nice if you have multiple people that want to use it. And
yeah, the other cool thing is any smart trainer, by the very nature of what it is, has to have a built-in power meter. So like when I was a kid before I had a road bike with a power, because I still have never. That's not true. I had a mountain bike with a power meter on it, but like. You know, for like a lot of kids, it might be the first time they get to train with powers over the winter too.
Which is really, yeah, it's really cool to learn how to read power and see how
mm-hmm.
how that metric is really informative when you're riding. And it's kind of a chance to get to learn that. So.
And they, like I said, they have the universal free hub thing now. And like every bike, every trainer accommodates boost. Like when I first got into this, it was kind of like you almost needed a consultation with me to figure out how to make it work for you. It's easy. It's a big fat industry. Actually, Zwift has kind of grown to the point that like even people outside of the bike world are kind of realizing it's better than like Peloton, because Peloton has been circling the toilet for a couple of years now. Like Zwift is doing really well as a company. You know, I say that I actually sold a bike to the CEO of Peloton, or the guy who founded it, like right before they crashed. Anyway. But Zwift is great.
Yeah.
Zwift is cool.
But if it makes you miserable, it makes your soul dark and you just hate it, you know, you don't have to do it.
I'm kind of skeptical no one should like love it. I love winter hiking or you love skiing. I don't know if you should love Zwift in the same way, but it's a great staple, man.
Another thing to throw out about like the trainer and Zwift and so forth is you need to think of it as a different discipline.
Yes.
Like if you're thinking of that, it's going to be like a substitute for riding at Summit Park. It's not. Yeah.
But you know,
yeah, it's its own discipline. Just kind of like where you've got mountain biking, you've got cross, you've got road, you've got gravel, you've got Zwift. It's just kind of a different discipline. it's different because it's can be so clean and precise and consistent, you know, and something that you really have a hard time. You know, it's really cool to be able to do things that you can't normally do outside.
Yeah.
So I think we probably spent more time on that than I, cause we will do a whole episode on it and we'll say the exact same thing when we do. But, the last thing I want to just throw out there is, do you remember when we talked about HIIT training?
High intensity rucking training. I don't know.
HIIT training. You don't remember that?
That was a joke there, by the way. I don't. Do you get it? Do I have to cut that? Was that in bad taste? Do I need to cut that? Anyway, that took you a second. It was like, I wonder if he got it. No, I
didn't get it, but that was pretty bad.
Okay, that's enough. Anyway, we're fine. I don't remember HIIT training. I'm so sorry.
It's just healthy as fast.
Oh, okay. I was panicking.
You know,
okay.
Which is something we kind of made up, but that's just like, you know, if you get a person that eats well, that sleeps well, that has a good energy balance, that manages stress, that eats good quality foods, versus a person that like does the opposite to all that. Like they sleep like crap. They eat garbage. They, you know, you take those two people, you know, if neither of them touched a bike, I'm guessing the person that does the HIIT training is going to have an advantage, you know?
So you decide a source for that, Dan?
I made it up, you know, like it's just kind of obvious though, you know,
right.
like you can get faster just by implementing more healthy habits into your lifestyle.
Yep.
You know, so that's HIIT training. Just, you know, maybe like when you're fueling your winter work, don't rely so much on the ultra high carb drink mixes, you know, maybe try a banana or an apple or something, you know, just.
I'll say to the adults, very specifically the adults, not talking to our kids here at all. Like, I the way I eat does change over the winter. The fact of the matter, you know, because I've got the Garmin watch and stuff. The fact of the matter is like my daily calorie burn is lower in the winter. It's hard to replace, you know, it's hard to replace riding. Granted, Zwift, you know, hop on the trainer. It's not far off. But like, you're also not, that's the beautiful thing about winter is you're not riding, training, or having to eat for performance. You know, you're just trying to get better. Yeah. So,
I'd say fuel a little more in a healthy way rather than.
Yes.
Yeah. So just, and get your sleep, be healthy. It'll make you faster.
Yeah. As a final note, I also want to throw out like basketball. Like there are a million other things you can do. If it gets swimming, we didn't even touch on swimming, but like.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, we could, this list could just go on and on.
The list of aerobic sports is long and they're all valid. Yeah. Those are just the
go
ones.
Go do hurdling. I don't know.
Yeah. Go, please start the Mabert hurdling team, you know? But yeah, like there's a million different things you can do.
Just remember the phrase, you know, do something every day. That's going to make you fat and make you a better athlete.
And you know, when that first week of March rolls around and someone says, hey, I heard the first bit of Shoreline's dry. That's the best. It's like Christmas, right? So like, I know it's hard to lose it, but the older I get, the more I realize that it is necessary and that it makes you love it and appreciate it. And there are days in the summer when I was tired and didn't want to get out, but I was like, you know what? February me would want me to do it. And it makes you appreciate it more.
You know, and just kind of as we're wrapping things up, just a word of caution, just to remember the Goldilocks principle.
Yes.
Because as we mentioned earlier, you know, winter training is definitely something that's going to get you on that next level. If you're not already there, it's going to help keep you competitive. It's really just one of the main things that's going to get you to be top level, but it can also be something I've seen it just, you know, if you just overdo it, it can make you burn out in March, you know? So just moderation, you know, just be smart, you know, as amateur athletes that live in Salt Lake, we don't need to do 4-hour zone 2 rides in January outdoors. For people that are focusing on the NICA season, we don't need to be doing VO2 max intervals on your Christmas break, you know,
use moderation, use judgment. The road ahead of you is long.
Make sure you're still getting rest if you need it. Don't just don't get hurt. Don't do anything too crazy. Yeah. Be smart. Use that frontal lobe. So
what's our secret word?
You know, maybe we could do a secret phrase. Just get people's thumbs tired.
Okay.
Just do something every day that'll make you a better athlete. Is that too much?
I was going to say rucking, but do something every day or turn that into an acronym, whatever that would be. DSEDTMYABA.
Yeah.
There you go. That took an embarrassing amount of cognitive effort for me to sort out. You see, I was like, uh-oh, I sound dumber than usual here. But enjoy this week. As always, ride safe. Do kind things for people. Make Maybird look good on the trails. Keep doing that. And we'll talk to you guys next week.